words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. I'm happy you're spending some time with First Down with Chip Brown. Welcome in. It is Monday of Red River Shootout Week. The best game day atmosphere in sports is coming to the Cotton Bowl on Saturday. And Texas is once again number one in the AP and AFCA coaches poll, and they didn't even play. That's because Alabama got Alabama with that last second touchdown pass from Jalen Milroe to Ryan Williams to beat Georgia in a wild thriller in Tuscaloosa. Could not get up for Vanderbilt. And credit Vanderbilt, credit quarterback Diego Pavea, who idolizes Johnny Manziel, wears number two because of it. Diego Pavea, who was the quarterback at New Mexico State, and credit Clark Lee for not only getting Diego Pavea to come to Vanderbilt, but also Tim Beck, the New Mexico State offensive coordinator, and Jerry Kill, the head coach of New Mexico State. They all packed their bags and transferred to Vanderbilt, and Clark Lee just basically turned the offense over to Tim Beck and Diego Pavea, and it showed. That kid has got moxie. No one recruited that kid out of Albuquerque, and now everybody knows his name because he stared down Alabama. So Alabama goes down, and Texas returns to number one. And so for the first time since 1984, Texas goes into the Red River Shootout as the number one team in the country. And oh, by the way, Texas is the only undefeated team in the Southeastern Conference. But we're going to get to the Sooners here in a second and a couple other nuggets. But 1984, let's go back to 1984 because that was the year that it was a horrible rainstorm. The game ended in a 15-15 tie. Barry Switzer and Brian Bosworth going at the Longhorns. And, you know, Oklahoma swears they won the game. Texas, lucky to come out of that game with a 15-15 tie, probably is fair to say. But Mac Brown was the offensive coordinator for Oklahoma that year in 1984. And so after they tie Texas 15-15 in a driving rainstorm, Oklahoma goes to Kansas a couple games later. And you had Danny Bradley go down, the quarterback for Oklahoma. He goes down with a broken leg. And so they take the red shirt off of Troy Aikman. And Troy Aikman comes in. This is two games after the Texas game. And Kansas is beating OU 10-3 at halftime. And Mac Brown told me this story, so I know it's legit. Mac came in at halftime and was yelling at the offense saying, "If you all don't play better, we're going to lose this game." Well, they go out in the third quarter. They don't score. They're now behind 13-3, and they end up losing 28-11. And Mack Brown told me that Barry Switzer went up to Mack after that game and said, in halftime talks, we don't ever talk about losing. We don't ever talk about losing in the locker room, ever. And Mack was, you know, a young, hungry assistant coach. It was his only year at Oklahoma. He moved on. After that year, he became the head coach at Tulane. But he talked about the possibility of losing in the locker room, and Barry Switzer said, we never do that. Troy Aikman told me later that Mack Brown almost broke him as a freshman, that Mack would scrutinize every single thing in practice, ball placement, footwork, just berating Aikman with, do this better, do this better, do this better. And remember, Mack was a face mask grabber. Mack was a cusser and face mask grabber until he met his now wife, Sally Jesse. And I've told this story, but she changed his life in every single way. She was a self-made millionaire when Mack met her. Mack had just been left by his first wife. And she just walked out, and Mack was suddenly a single father of two daughters. But before that, before meeting Sally Jesse in 1993, Mack was a face mask grabber, cusser. And Troy Aikman told me, Mack, this is a direct quote, Mack Brown almost broke me. So not since 1984 has Texas entered the Red River Shootout at number one. And Texas is the only undefeated team left in the SEC. And some of those losses are not pretty, because Tennessee, which looked like a juggernaut, also lost this weekend at Arkansas. And I had a feeling that Arkansas might show up in that game, because Arkansas's offense and defense are pretty good. Like, Arkansas absolutely should have beaten Oklahoma State in Stillwater. They had total control of that game. They had to do five things wrong to lose it, and they did all five things. Arkansas is not bad. Arkansas is a little scary, and Texas goes to Arkansas in November. Of course, Georgia lost to Alabama, and then Alabama loses to Vanderbilt. And let's be honest, Vanderbilt should have beaten Missouri in Missouri. And now, after what Texas A&M did to Missouri, total beatdown, total domination, 41-17? No matter what it was a blowout. And don't look now, 41-10, A&M. Don't look now, but A&M is 3-0 in the conference. They went to Florida and won. They beat Arkansas at Jerry World, and then they smashed Mizzou. Next up for the Aggies is a road trip to Mississippi State after an off week. This upcoming week, the trip to Mississippi State is October 19th. For the Aggies, then they play LSU at home, then they're at South Carolina, then they're home against New Mexico State, then they're at Auburn, and then they play Texas. And so A&M avoids Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee, just like Texas avoids Alabama, Tennessee. And we thought avoiding Missouri was a big deal, but it's not. So The Aggies are 3-0 and in first place in the SEC. Texas, of course, has only played one SEC game. It was a home win over Mississippi State. Then they were off this weekend, and now the Longhorns get ready for the Oklahoma Sooners. And here's the thing about the Sooners. You know, Texas is a 14-point favorite. That is always unnerving, because any team that comes in as a double-digit favorite tends to think that the other team is going to roll over. I don't think Texas believes that, because they lost this game a year ago. A game they should have won after taking the lead with a minute 17 left or whatever it was. But Quinn Ewers turned the ball over three times in that game last year. I'm sure he'll have a little extra focus going into this game, especially since he's returning home or near home to the DFW area. He's from South Lake. But here's the thing about Oklahoma. Their defense is legit. Oklahoma's defense is legit. We will get to that in a second. Let's go over Oklahoma's season thus far. Give you a little context about the Sooners. So Oklahoma beat Temple 51-3. That is Temple, coached by Stan Drayton, the former Texas running backs coach. And it's not looking like Stan Drayton is going to be the coach at Temple for long. Of course, the athletic director at Temple is Arthur Johnson, who used to be the associate athletic director at Texas, the associate athletic director for operations. And Temple is awful. I mean, world class awful. And yeah, they turned it over six times against Oklahoma. They turned it over six times against Oklahoma, who turned those six turnovers into 33 points in a 51-3 rout. That's really all you need to know about Stan Drayton's Temple Owls. Okay, so then Oklahoma has a home game against Houston. Houston, which is now 2-4. But Houston played OU like to a standstill. This game was 16-12, Oklahoma. And Houston outgained OU 318 to 249 yards. And a big part of that was Houston quarterback Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith, who Texas fans remember well because the guy played great every time he faced Texas. When he was at Texas Tech, he played great against Texas. When he was at Houston last year, he nearly pulled off an amazing comeback. Texas was up 21-0 in that game, and then all of a sudden it was 21-21, and Texas is fighting for its life to get out of Houston with a win, which they did. But Donovan Smith was able to throw the football against OU's defense, 24 of 28 for 260 yards, one touchdown, one interception. No one's been able to run the ball on OU, like nobody. And their run defense is 27th in FBS. They're giving up 105.6 yards per game on the ground. They have not given up a 100-yard rusher this season. And they are Let's see here. They are giving up terms of yards per carry. They're giving up. Come on, come on, come on. They're giving up 2.64 yards per carry. Okay, so that's a challenge for Texas. That's a big old challenge. But where you have to attack Oklahoma on defense is through the air. This needs to be a great game from the Texas offensive line in terms of pass protection. It needs to be a great game from Quinn Ewers, who will be returning from basically 2.5 games with an abdominal strain. He will be back in the starting lineup for Texas. Ewers had a really weird game, but yet a game that I think he learned from, grew from, because Quinn Ewers completed 26 of his final 28 passes against OU last year after turning it over 3 times. And so I think Quinn Ewers ended that game with a ton of confidence. Even though Texas ended up losing the game, Texas defense was exhausted. There were players who played too many reps. We'll get into that. But you know, Quinn Ewers did complete 26 of his last 28 passes against Oklahoma. So this is a game that Quinn Ewers can get right back in the drama, or it can get right back in the Heisman race with lights out performance. Oh yeah, Ewers completed a school record 19 straight passes in that game against Oklahoma last year. So replacing Colt McCoy's record of 18 straight passes set in a win against Oklahoma State in 2008. So Quinn Ewers finished that game red hot, and he, you know, helped lead Texas back. But you have to attack this OU defense through the air. Now, Oklahoma will say, "Oh, that's just where we want you," because Oklahoma is number 5 in sacks nationally with 18. Texas has 13 sacks, by the way. OU is number 9 in tackles for loss with 40. Texas has 38 tackles for loss, by the way. But that's an average of 8 tackles per loss per game. I mean, OU's getting after it. Danny Stutzman, solid linebacker. Billy Bowman. I mean, their defense won the game against Auburn. Auburn was up 21-10 cruising. Peyton Thorne, the maligned quarterback at Auburn, threw for Peyton Thorne threw for 338 yards against OU's defense. But unfortunately, he threw one of those incompletions right to Kip Lewis, the Oklahoma linebacker, who returned it 63 yards for a pick six that ultimately swung the game to Oklahoma, and Oklahoma ended up winning 27-21. But Oklahoma's defense is legit. This would be an impressive opportunity for Quinn Ewers and these Texas receivers to show the, you know, show the country what's going on. Show them what they're capable of, because OU's defense, you know, Texas offensive line wants to win the Joe Moore Award. They made an early statement at Michigan, and And the running game has been up and down, no doubt about it. And last game against Mississippi State, it was certainly down in the first half. It was awful in the first half. Texas averaged like 1.7 yards per carry. Jaden Blue fumbled, lost a fumble, then opened the second half. And then the first play, lost a fumble, got benched. Quintravian Wisner came in, ended up running 12 times for 90 yards in the second half, over, 7 yards per carry, and made a case for himself. Because here's why. Do you start Quintravian Wisner at running back for Texas against OU's defense? OU is number four in the nation in takeaways. They have 13 takeaways, 8 of them forced fumbles, 5 of them interceptions. But you've got a Texas running back, Jaden Blue, who's coming off a game where he lost 2 fumbles in one game. And Jaden Blue, you're going to need him. Steve Sarkisian said that last week. It's true. You got to have him. He's an excellent receiver. His speed in space is a total weapon. But Quintravian Wisner can catch the football too. And Quintravian Wisner is the only scholarship running back available. Well, I guess if we count Belton Gardner, but he's not getting the reps. Of the three running backs who have gotten significant reps, Jaden Blue, Jarek Gibson, the freshman, and Quintravian Wisner. Quintravian Wisner is the only one without a fumble. So in this game, you're not going away from Jaden Blue. You're gonna use him, but maybe you give the bulk of the carries to Quintravian Wisner. Because Oklahoma's number 3 in the nation in takeaways. 13. 8 of them forced fumbles. They are number 3 in the nation in turnover margin. They are plus 8. I mean, this is how the OU defense is winning games, literally, for OU. Danny Stutzman, Billy Bowman, they're legit. And they have a good punter. OU is 11th in FBS in net punting at 43.97 yards. I consider the punter part of the defense. So OU totally legit on defense. I mean, against Tennessee, OU held Tennessee and Dylan Sampson to 2.9 yards per carry. That's good for me. I'm sold. That's legit. That's legit run defense right there. And so there's the strength of the OU team. There's the marquee matchup, the Texas offense against the OU defense. Quinn Ewers slinging it all over the place, but still being physical enough to run the football, got to run the football. So can't wait to see it. Cannot wait to see it. And when I look at the OU offense, it's easy to get lulled to sleep. Like, it's easy to think, oh my God, they are awful, because they're awful. Their rush offense is 100th in college football. Their pass offense is 118th. Their scoring offense is 69th. They're averaging 28.6 points per game. But remember, there's a couple defensive touchdowns in there. They're 129th in third down conversions. They're only converting 26.9% on third down. They're converting more on fourth down, 57%, than they are on third down, 26.9%. But they're pretty good in the red zone. They're pretty good in the red zone. Oklahoma. Let me get the numbers for you. Always trying to let you know what's going on. Oklahoma, pretty good in the red zone. They've scored on 18 of 19 attempts. Upon further review, 13 of those touchdowns, 5 of them field goals. So they're finishing red zone drives with touchdowns 68% of the time, which puts them 38th in the country. Texas is 4th. Texas has scored on 25 of 27 red zone trips, 24 of those touchdowns. So Texas is scoring touchdown, finishing drives in the red zone with touchdowns 88.89%. Can we just call that 89%? And that is 4th in the country behind only Navy, which has scored a touchdown on all of its red zone trips with their triple option football. Ohio State has scored on 21 of 21 red zone trips, 20 of them touchdowns. And Army has scored on 19 of 20 red zone trips with 18 of those being touchdowns. So Texas, I've said it before, their red zone offense improvement from last year is the reason they're averaging 45 points per game right now. And after averaging 35 points per game the first 3 years under Steve Sarkisian. And I'll give this to Sarkisian. When I asked him before the season, what's it going to take to improve in the red zone, finishing drives with touchdowns, he said, we got to eliminate the self-inflicted wounds, the false starts, the penalties that get them. But he said that the red zone offense was absolutely the reason that Texas wasn't elevating its scoring. That's the reason that Texas was kind of stuck at 35 points per game. Now, 35 points per game, you'll take that. That would put you currently at 32nd in scoring offense. But Texas is averaging 45 points per game, and it's because they're finishing drives in the red zone. And we all know that it was the Red River Shootout last year where Texas bottomed out in its red zone offense. Like, the defining, embarrassing, worst, lowest moment for the Texas offense failing to score in the red zone came when Texas had first and goal from the 1 early in the fourth quarter. And Steve Sarkisian was running weird plays with Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy in the game. And those guys don't block. They don't spend all their practice time blocking. They are defensive players. It didn't work. Then they throw the ball to Xavier Worthy, who gets absolutely smashed by Billy Bowman and stuffed right at the goal line, doesn't get in, turnover on downs. This was early in the fourth quarter. Now, remember, Jake Majors went out. Now fifth-year senior Jake Majors went out of this game early in the first quarter with a high ankle sprain and was replaced by freshman Connor Robertson because backup center Cole Hudson was injured. He had a knee injury that he was still recovering from. This is why Kyle Flood spent lots of practice time with Cole Hudson snapping the football, Hayden Connor, Texas's left guard, snapping the football, and the center of the future, Daniel Cruz, snapping the football, because no shade on Connor Robertson. He did the best he could. He was a true freshman, or a redshirt freshman, sorry, who was giving it all he had, but he's not Jake Majors. So Texas returns to the OU game with depth. Depth. Critical, critical depth. Depth at center. Because here, it's going to be 90 degrees. The early forecast for Saturday is 90 degrees, which means at 2:30 in the afternoon, it'll be 100 plus on the turf. It will be a roaster like it was last year. And Texas did not have the depth that it has now. And that was evidenced by middle linebacker Jalen Ford playing all 82 snaps and on defense and on special teams, because he was on two special teams. And he was totally exhausted and had his worst game by far. You're talking about the, All Big 12, first team All Big 12 middle linebacker, Jalen Ford, who should have been the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in 2022. But he played all 82 snaps. That's, you wonder why Dillon Gabriel ran all over Texas and won the game by rushing for 113 yards and extending drives, extending plays with his legs over and over and over again. It was because Jalen Ford was exhausted. This year, you have depth at linebacker. You've got Leonga Lefau, who's a playmaker now. Leonga Lefau has two sacks and a safety. Leonga Lefau's got confidence, and you can play him for 30 snaps in this game and give Anthony Hill a rest. You can, rotate David Benda, Leonga Lefau, and Anthony Hill so that you're getting some rest for these guys. There should be no linebacker who plays every snap of the Red River Shootout, period. You've got depth at the interior defensive line. Lord knows you've got depth at defensive end. Right now, your depth is better than your starter, Trey Moore. Come on, Trey. You got this. 5 games in. Those power conference jitters should be out of the way. But you've got depth, man. You've got, behind Baron Sorrell and Trey Moore, you've got Ethan Burke, Justice Finkley, Colton Vasek. Burke and Vasek are playing behind the line of scrimmage. Vasek has two sacks. Burke has a pick six, two TFLs, and two batted passes. So Trey Moore, by the way, has nine tackles, 0 tackles for loss, 0 sacks, 0 forced fumbles. Colin Simmons has a team leading 6 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, a forced fumble, and leads the team in quarterback pressures. Can we get some more snaps for Colin Simmons, number 11, who's coming home? He's a Duncanville product. He's coming home to the DFW area. The DFW kids tend to show out in this game. Quintravian Wisner of DeSoto. Just saying. Don't overlook that stuff. Quinn Ewers. Southlake. All right. So there you have it. A good little start the week opener on Texas and Oklahoma, where they are right now. Okay. Oh no. Many of you are asking me, wait, Chip, what's the deal with Oklahoma's quarterback? So Michael Hawkins, who was also a Dallas area kid, he went to Frisco Emerson. He was a 4-star. He is a true freshman. In fact, he's going to be OU's first true freshman starting quarterback ever in the Red River Shootout. History will be made by 4-star freshman quarterback Michael Hawkins Jr. So Hawkins signs with OU. He's supposed to be growing and developing behind five-star Jackson Arnold, but Arnold was benched in the Tennessee game after turning it over three times. And weird, weird turnovers too. Like Nico Iamaliava, the quarterback at Tennessee, fumbled the ball twice. And on the following plays, Jackson Arnold fumbled back to Tennessee. And the first one was at the Tennessee five. Like Nico fumbled the ball, OU recovers at the Tennessee five. And Sam Bradford fumbles on the next play. Brutal. So he gets benched and he's been out. It was Michael Hawkins who became the first freshman quarterback to make his first start at OU on the road since Troy Aikman in 1984. And Hawkins was good against Auburn. He was 10 of 15. That's 67% completion rate, 161 yards. He didn't have any touchdown passes, but he didn't have any interceptions. And he ran it 14 times for 69 yards, which is 4.9 a carry, and one touchdown run. He had a long run of 48 yards. The kid can scoot. The kid is a legit dual threat, and he's got really good poise. I think Michael Hawkins is a plus player. Like, you'd rather play Jackson Arnold. This is kind of you'd rather play Spencer Rattler than Caleb Williams. I'm not saying that Michael Hawkins is Caleb Williams, far from it, but he's got big game chops. Like, he ain't scared. Now, what he doesn't have is receivers. So he beat Auburn without his top five receivers. Jahlil Farouk, who lit up Texas last year. Nick Anderson, who lit up Texas last year. Andrell Anthony, who lit up Texas last year. They're all out, injured. Deion Burks, I think, is coming back from injury. He did not play against Auburn, but I think he'll be back for this game. Brennan Thompson, former Longhorn, has been getting a lot of work because of the injuries to Farouk, Andrell Anthony, and Nick Anderson. But you're looking at a depleted receiving core. Now, they've got some guys who are making some plays for him. J.J. Hester has come through. They've got, I mentioned Brennan Thompson and Bauer Sharp, their tight end, is the second leading receiver on the team. Number 10, Bauer Sharp from Dothan, Alabama. So Deion Burks is their leading receiver. 26 catches, 201 yards, three touchdowns, and he should be back for this game. So Deion Burks, Bauer Sharp, Brennan Thompson, J.J. Hester, they're probably going to be the guys you have to stop. And Texas, number one in the SEC in pass efficiency defense right now. So, Texas has got to make sure that Michael Hawkins doesn't do damage with his legs the way that Dylan Gabriel did last year, period. You shut down Michael Hawkins in this game can end with Texas winning by 14 or more. But it's going to take a great focused effort from Texas. And remember, Mizzou was coming off an off week and went to A&M and looked like hot garbage. Off weeks are tricky. And I think Steve Sarkisian's like 12-3 coming off an off week. So he's got it figured out. But Texas needs to come out focused. I didn't think they were sharp last year to start the game. Texas defense, they need to just keep doing what they're doing. Although they did give up some rushing yards in the first half to Mississippi State. They only gave up 6 points, 2 field goals. But, you know, Texas defense had some stuff to work on coming out of that Mississippi State game. The OU running game against Auburn was literally two players, Michael Hawkins and Javonte Barnes. And Javonte Barnes is averaging 3.5 yards per carry. That is not good. That is not good. Taylor Tatum has been pretty good for them, averaging 6.4 yards per carry. But Javonte Barnes has 57 carries. Taylor Tatum has 18. So the OU run game has not been a threat. It's just broken plays. It's broken running plays, like the 48-yard run by Michael Hawkins that Texas has to avoid. If Texas defense plays like it has, Longhorns will be fine. And if Quinn Ewers plays like he has. One other thing I thought was funny. Steve Sarkisian was asked on the SEC coaches call if he would consider, you know, building a package for Arch Manning so that he could stay connected to the offense. And Steve Sarkisian said, absolutely not. He said, I was a quarterback in college. And he recalled a time when they wanted to take him out because he was a little banged up and they wanted to run a quarterback draw with the backup quarterback. And Steve Sarkisian said, no, I'll run it. And they called the play and he ran it and he scored. But he said, I have a healthy respect for the guy. Who's the starting quarterback and the rhythm that is needed to play with. So no, that's not something I've ever entertained, end quote. Steve Sarkisian on a possible package of plays for Arch Manning, who returns to the bench this week as Quinn Ewers returns to the starting lineup. Okay, wild and woolly weekend of football. We'll get into more of it tomorrow. But we'd like to wrap things up around here on First Down with Chip Brown with a Sean Adams thought for the day. Sean Adams, my man, my guy, my longtime co-host in Austin on the Bottom Line. This thought for the day, they're posted on his Instagram, This Sean with one S, December 10th, 2016. Be a good person, but don't waste time to prove it. Thanks, everybody, for listening to episode 30 of First Down with Chip Brown. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, the dream is free. The hustle is sold separately. Go to work. Peace.